Welcome to It Is What It Is, a true crime podcast. How is everybody? I'm your host, Shawn Marie. I'm just super fucking stoked. I thought this would be like way harder than it obviously is, but I've been gone for like a whole month. Life is just insane and chaotic, and I said that really weird. But it's just weird and, you know, crazy, and your girl just has no idea what she's doing with herself. And so we're just taking it day by day and just rocking each day as they come. And that's all I know now for right now. You know what I mean? Your girl be lost. But I'm back. So that's all that matters, is we get to go back to hanging out with each other for a minute. And this episode today is for a dear friend of mine. I worked with her, adored her, know her husband, her children, the whole spiel. She's an amazing lady. And she wanted me to talk about the Scott Peterson case. And so I'm going to give you the rundown, obviously. And then mainly she just wants my thoughts, obviously. So that's what we'll do, is we're going to start with Scott and then go through that whole thing and give you all of my opinions and whatnot have yous. So yeah, hopefully you guys like it, and yeah, feel free to leave a comment and talk about how much of a piece of shit he is and what you feel. So Scott was born in October of 1972 in San Diego, California. His dad was a businessman and his mom owned a boutique called The Put On. They had 6 children from previous relationships, and little Scotty was the only one they had together. He shared a bedroom with his half-brother growing up in an apartment. He played golf as a child and he was really good. At 14, he could beat his father, so he joined a junior professional golf team and went to the university and played. Got kicked off the team for partying with another teammate, meeting girls, resulting in a hangover for his teammate, so the coach kicked him off the team. So he transferred colleges and he became a businessman, was his profession, what he went to school with for, not with, for. Then he worked at a restaurant, which was where he met his beautiful, adorable wife in the mid-94-ish times. I was 4 years old, so I don't really remember then. She made the move, though. She gave him his phone number. When she met him, she immediately, it was one of those, like, you're my man forever and always moments. So she called her mom and was like, you gotta meet this dude, he's amazing. And the mom loved him, literally loved him, all the way up until his affair came out after she had gone missing. So they got married, of course. He is known to have at least 2 affairs. The one everybody knows about is Amber Fry. But when they graduated, they got their... they opened up a sports bar and it was called The Shack. Then they got another loan. Well, they got loans from Scott's parents because his dad's a businessman, so they're loaded. And her parents weren't bad off either. It's not like she comes from like a completely different background. They're both pretty well off. So they sold The Shack and they moved to Modesto, California. That's where my sister lives, because they wanted to start a family. And so they go there and they purchase a 3-bedroom adorable little house in East Loma Park or something. I'm not sure how to say it. Anyway, so she was a part-time substitute teacher, and she does no longer works with me, but I worked with a lady who knew Lacey, and she said that this lady literally was what everybody says, like a light. Like, she was a joy. She's like one of those one in a lifetime friends, is how she was described. So it's sadder that she was actually like a really decent person and it wasn't just like people making it up just because, you know, it always is sadder when you find out they really were decent people. So she was, like I said, a part-time substitute teacher. And he worked for like a fertilizer company. And so he did a bunch of travel. So he was, I don't know, like the business guy you see on TV is what it is what they paint him as in all the shows I watch and everything else too. Just like a very suitcase carrying type of fella. So what all happens is he has this friend, right? And this friend is like, hey, and it is not known if this friend knew that he was married. But if your friend doesn't know you're married, I don't know if it's your friend, to be honest. So this friend, who is a girl, was like, hey, I know this chick. You need to meet her. She's a delight. Her name is Amber. And so he calls Amber and leaves a voicemail. And he's like, hi, my name's Scott. I'm a really gross guy. I have long hair. I'm a douchebag. All these things. And she was like, well, I still want to meet you and love you. And so they do. They hook up. They meet. And it's like he's infatuated, I guess. Enough to where, like, the lies that he tells is insane. So his wife goes missing in December. In Christmas Eve is the day that she goes missing. And her stepdad is the one who reports her missing. Because Scott calls her mom and is like, hey, she's missing. And like, that's the words he used. Like, I just got home, found the dog in the backyard and had the leash on. I ate dinner and your daughter's missing. Like, I've noticed now after this time has passed, which is weird because what leads up to her being missing is she's like very, very pregnant. She's 8 months pregnant and everybody says that she was at that stage of her pregnancy where she was miserable. Like, just walking made her dizzy. She got sick easily. Before she went missing, they took a trip to Disneyland and it was just a day of misery for her. Like, there was no magic anywhere to be found. She was sick, miserable, her feet, like the whole thing. So when the cops ask him, they're like, well, what were you guys gonna do that day? And he's like, well, I was going to go golfing. She was going to go walk the dog, go to the store, mop the floors, make gingy men, and get shit ready for tomorrow's breakfast. So she has this long list of to-dos. And he's like, I'm going golfing because I'm a fuck. And then it's like what he does is just so weird. It's like everybody now assumes that he might not be guilty just because of what's going on with his court case. And so it's kind of hard because I don't want people to attack me and be like, well, he's not guilty. But I kind of think he is. So I'm going to talk like he is. So anywho, what he does is shady. So when her mom talks to her for the very last time, it's December 15th. And they were supposed to have this amazing dinner. Scott was supposed to cook dinner for her mom and her and have a good little cute little dine-in. Well, he lost track of time with his girlfriend and didn't make it. Ended up staying the night at his girlfriend's house. So she ended up doing like frozen dinners instead. And instead of complaining about it and like bitching about him, her mom said she was a good sport. She was just like, hey, it is what it is. We're going to have dinner and it'll be fine. So that's the last time her mom talks to her. So her mom knows that like there's something. There may not be like arguing and like bickering and like fuck him, but there's something amiss. It's not the normal Lacey and Scott cuteness. Because I guess they were adorable. Just cute as a button. Well, it's weird. Because he calls her, okay, that day. And leaves, like, the time. I've never in my life, unless it's like a detective or someone wanting money, like a creditor, ever say like the time on a voicemail. Like if my spouse or significant other or anybody like that were ever to call me and be like, hey, it's 3:45, just checking in on you. You're shady as fuck. Why do you need to put 3:45? You said that shit for a reason. 3:45. You said it for a reason. Why? So it was just shady to me. And then he tells the cops, he's like, so I was going to go golfing, but it was so cold that I didn't. So I went fishing. Yeah. Yeah. That makes no sense. So that sets up his alibi, I guess, in a way, because he does have to go to his storage unit where he has like this boat. It is unknown if she knew about this boat. There are people that say, yes, she knew. There are a lot of other people that say, no, she did not. I'm going to go with, no, she did not. Lacey was very close with her family, from what they all say. And her stepdad was an avid fisherman himself. So you would assume if your husband got a fishing boat, you would call your dad and be like, hey, go fishing with Scott. Scott just got a boat. Yay! Because he had this boat for a minute before she went missing, you know? So, like, there was plenty of time for everybody to know Scott had purchased this boat. Anywho, so he goes to the boat and gets his homemade anchors and all that jazz and goes fishing. And they're like, well, what'd you go fishing for? And he's like, I don't know. And they're like, well, what did you use to try to catch it? Well, I forgot it. Well, I didn't have it. I didn't have bait. Okay. And they sit there for a minute and he's like, well, really, I just took the boat out to take it out. Like, I intended to go fishing, and then obviously I couldn't, and then I had nothing to fish for, and so I just took it out to chill. And it was fun. It was fun. It was great. It ran fine. And that's all I did. I just came back and left that creepy-ass voicemail. So that was really weird, and it was just weird. And then what he says when he goes home, like what he does when he says he goes home is weirder. So not COVID. Sorry. So what he does is he goes home, takes a shower, puts his clothes into the washer. And this is the first time everybody was like, I didn't even know he knew where the washer was located within their home. News to me, he knew where it was. So he goes and he puts only the clothing he is wearing in the washer. Has some pizza, drinks some milk. And then is like, shit, there should be a pregnant wife around here somewhere. And then calls her mom. And why the dirty clothes thing is so weird is because I guess there was dirty laundry in the home. Like, in the same vicinity, he could see it. So he could have easily been like, oh, I'll throw some towels in. Like, why was it just his? And why, in the first time ever, the day your wife goes missing, quote unquote, you're like, I'm going to try to do household chores. Today's the day. I'm going to put the effort out there. I'm going to do it. Said no dude I've ever known in my life. So she's only 27 years old. You know what I mean? She's 8 months pregnant. Where'd she go, bro? Where did she go? So when she goes missing, immediately there is media attention. It's everywhere. Everybody remembers it happening. I do, at least. She was gorgeous, cute, and at like a little Christmas thing in this pregnant and just adorable, sitting in the chair. And her picture was just captivating. It got everybody's attention. And she's missing. And her husband's just like, I'm going to let the family do the talking for the majority of like everything. He did do some interviews, but he wasn't like, she's going to be home. I'm going to get my wife back. Yay. He was more like, hey, the possibility is the possibility. She might not come back. We got to be realistic. Let's go. And he sold her car like 2 weeks after she went missing. Well, not sold it, traded it to get a pickup. But then I watched a Dr. Phil with his sister-in-law, who is the person who's behind fighting his new case and getting him help to get a new trial. Anywho, she says that the only reason why he did that is because the police took his vehicle and he still needed to work. So he traded in her vehicle so that he could get a work truck and work. All I'm saying is if I go fucking missing and the person that I'm with is like, I got to go back to work and that's priority number one, I'm going to tell you right now, flags don't get any redder. Like they just don't. And so they searched the bay 15 times, up to 15 times, okay, is when they searched this bay. I don't know anywhere in California. I've never been there. I just know my sister lives there. So I'm not trying to act like I can tell you what it looks like. Anyway, when they put the tracker on his car, they track him going to the exact same spot on the bay up to 5 times before the baby's body washed ashore before she did. She came the next day. And so, I don't know, dude. Then they're found and you go missing and then you're found and you have dyed your hair, your stash, your eyebrows, everything. You have your brother's ID, cash, credit cards, and you're like 30 something miles away from Mexico. I think you have a plan. Just me? Think you got a plan though. And on February 10th is the due date, right? And they hadn't been found. Sorry, this is like a little backtracking. It's a little side note off my paper. So on February 10th was the actual due date, and that happens to be Amber Fry's, the girlfriend's, birthday. And while the family and friends of Lacey and baby Connor are at the park having a candlelight visual morning, he's fucking traveling around California trying to find birthday gifts. Like, I'm sorry. Any man would fucking care. I don't care if that dude's having 500 affairs. If he did nothing to his wife and she was pregnant with, that's going to affect that motherfucker deep. I'm just so sorry, but it has to. Anybody with a heart and soul that doesn't know what happened already, you know what I mean? It's going to affect you. There's no way you're going to be like, I'm sorry, girlfriend. It's your fucking what? Meanwhile, why am I talking to my girlfriend? My missing 8-month pregnant wife is gone. And I'm like, girlfriend. And he told her before his wife went missing, like 3 weeks or 2 weeks, I don't know, weeks before, like, hey, I lied to you. I was married before. This is going to be my first Christmas since my wife died. So I'm sad. And like, the whole reason how she even comes into it is like just nonsense to begin with. Because she's at a fucking party and like her friends, these people's friends, I don't even know. Obviously, she doesn't watch the news because they were like, hey, that Scott guy that you're dicking down, his wife is missing and he's all over the news. So crazy. And then she called the hotline and she's like, my boyfriend's wife is missing. Super crazy. Like, the whole thing was just weird. And then you listen to his phone calls because he's like, hey, I'm in Paris. Well, he's at the candlelight visual and he's just a fucking creep. And like when he calls her like pet names, you can tell that she's like, ew, gross. And this is a dude who straight tells this woman after meeting her, like, I don't need any more children. I'm solid. I don't want any biological children. I'll get fixed for you. Your daughter will be enough because she has a sweet little angel of her own. And to her, that wasn't a red flag. To her, she's like, how precious. Any dude that gets with you within weeks and is like, I will claim your child today. I am good with just your child. It's waving, you know, in the air, very high. It's very high. That person is bad and up to no good. So, like, he was just so shady. The fact that his sister-in-law thinks that he is innocent blows my fucking mind. Like, it blows my mind. And so there's a Dr. Phil, right? And I love hate Dr. Phil. I really do. I love hate him because he's obnoxious and his voice drives me insane. But damn, he has good episodes. So I get caught up sometimes. So she starts out by saying, because Dr. Phil points out, well, Scott's a liar face. He's a liar, liar, pants on fire. And she's like, yes, he has lied. He has lied about a lot of things. You could say he's a liar, but he has never lied about murder. What the fuck did you just say? Okay. So I was like, first of all, you're obviously weird. And then they play that voicemail, the voicemail at 2:15. And he's literally like, hey, beautiful, it's 2:15. Like, he's a fucking weatherman. Like, sunny skies, and I can't make it to that store. So you're going to have to add that onto the list of shit you were already doing, if you don't mind, because I can't do it. Love you. Like, oh, okay. Weird. And then, like, she's like, I really believe, I think in my heart of hearts that, so there's 14 neighbors in like this little area, the neighborhood they live in, that said they saw either a fat chick or a pregnant chick walking a large dog. And only 4 of those people were ever talked to by the police or anything like that. So it is kind of super weird and shady that none of that was followed up on. Because at, I think it's like starting at like 10, a little after 10, something like that, his movements really are tracked. Like, he does have a good alibi. And so, like, if it's coming from that standpoint, I get it. I get it. He needs a new trial. We need to figure it out. Did he do it? But then she's asked, like, okay, well, who do you think did it? And then they're like, well, check it out. There was a robbery going on in the neighborhood. At the same time, they're claiming 14 other fucking people are just watching this fat lady walk down the road, or pregnant lady, we don't know. There's a robbery amiss. And they say that Lacey saw the robberer and was like, hey, don't do that in my neighborhood. And confronted 3 dudes, 8 months pregnant, walking a dog, confronting 3 dudes, and that's who done did it. I mean, who knows? Maybe, I guess. I know at 8 months pregnant, I wasn't walking any dog anywhere at all. I don't give a shit what needed to happen. It wasn't gonna. And so then her other thing of proof that she brought to Dr. Phil was the dog being put back into the backyard. So the neighbor says a little after 8, she sees the dog in the street. She gets the dog. The gate is open to their backyard. She doesn't see Lacey. She does not see Scott. She puts the dog in said backyard, goes about her fucking business. Then, this is early 10, then almost 11 o'clock, the mailman, the same mailman they've had for eons, comes to deliver the mail. Every day, same dog, same time, barking occurs. never fails. Except for this day. There is no barking. The dog is not there. So Dr. Phil says, so tell me how everybody's saying that she lost the dog while at the park. The dog is found, put in the backyard, and Scott's gone, way gone. We're already deciding if it's too cold to go golfing or if it's too cold, we have to go fishing. We're down the road. We are at our office in the storage. We're on the computer. We know where he is. So he is not coming home to take this dog out of the house. The only person who can take that dog out of the house from early 10 o'clock to almost 11 is Lacey. And the sister's just like, well, what I think happened was, the sister-in-law, she says, well, what I think, my speculation is this, that Lacey, at 8 months pregnant, opened the door to take the dog for the walk, decided after coming outside, a bit chilly, Scott's onto something, it's cold, goes to retrieve a sweater. The dog, at that point in time, had gotten out, and it was a mosey dog, so it just moseyed along, you know, it never strayed far. The neighborhood, everybody knew, everybody was like, oh, good dog, doesn't run viciously when it gets out, it just moseys. And in that time, the neighbor, who saw no one, no activity at all, got said dog and put it in the backyard, okay? And then, bam. So, I mean, and that could have happened. That could have happened. But, like, when Scott says he leaves the situation and departs, she is not yet gone on this walk because he is filling up a mop bucket for her to mop the floor. So, like, I don't know, dude. Like, dude just did it, you know? And so right now, what's going on with him right now, he might be back in court. I'm going to guess. We'll find out if he gets a new trial. I'm going to assume maybe the beginning of the next year. Maybe December, because he's already gotten, he was sentenced to death, but it was taken to, reverted to life. So that already happened for him. And so the next thing that they're going to do is try to get him a new trial because one of the jurors didn't tell the truth on one of her questionnaires and didn't divulge some type of like past criminal knowledge of something or somehow of some sort. I don't know. So we'll find out. Really, I think everybody is just grabbing at straws and like, yes, it is 2 decades later. I don't really know what they think is going to happen. If he is tried again, I don't understand what his lawyers think are going to happen. Just because you can go and say 14 people think they might have, could have, possibly could have maybe even had a chance of looking at her that day doesn't really mean anything, bro. Like, no one had a reason to murder this lady. No one did. And then they tried to say at the time, like, it wasn't a cult and she was taken and like fucking sacred. Like, dude, all this crazy shit came up. And about Scott too, like, he got the porn channel like 2 weeks after she went missing. And so the media took that and ran with it. And with a lot of these cases, dude, it really comes down to what you get in the media. If you don't go and look into and watch the family interviews, where it's families, mainly parents, being able to talk freely about the situation, I don't really take anything that's said on the TV seriously or that I read, because it's just too much. Like, I can't say that you killed your wife because you watch porn. Like, I can't. I don't know what you're into. I can't say you did it because you had a mistress. A million dudes have them. They don't kill them. You know what I mean? So I can't say that that's a reason why, a good enough reason why, and his reason why. Do I think he did it? Yeah. I think he had this shit planned out for days. Maybe a new life was his reasoning. But according to her mom, he really didn't even want to have children from the very beginning. And it was kind of like a thing for them at the very beginning that they had to work through. And he kind of changed his mind on it in like a week's time. And then like the next week they talked and she was like, oh yeah, we're going to have a baby. We're going to try for a baby. And so the mom even was like, I don't know if this is a good idea. He changed his mind awfully fast. Dudes, don't do that. Caution, think. She didn't. Bam, the baby came. So like, I don't know, maybe just a free life in general. I'm not going to put it all on Amber and say it was for her because, I mean, God only knows. He had other affairs. So just because Amber's the one who admitted to it and provided recordings and everything else doesn't really mean she was the only one. It just means she's the only one who came forward. And she only came forward, honestly, to protect her own ass. Like, she called a press conference and was like, hey, before anybody else finds out, I'm fucking him. Sorry about your loss. Or you're missing. But I was his girlfriend. And it, her phone record showed after the cops were like, hey, stop. We don't need you to record conversations or talk to him anymore. There is no need for you to communicate with Scott Peterson whatsoever. Him and Amber were still talking and being like, hey. So, like, I don't know. The whole thing is just shady. And I honestly, by now, if you haven't, don't have your own opinion of it and don't know of it, you live under a rock. Obviously, he did it. He falls in line with Jodi Arias and fucking, what's that horrible mom's name? I don't even like to remember her name because she's gross. But like, he's one of those infamous douchey people that killed someone for no fucking good reason and took a good life out of the world just because they wanted to be an ass. And now everybody is wanting to feel bad for him. Well, not really everybody. And I get why his family fight. I get it. I get it. I don't know if I would fight for my brother if it was an obvious situation in my eyes, like it is here. I think I might just be more fighting for the reputation of he's not an evil monster, but like he did do what he did. Is I think the angle more I would take from it, but his family is just going pure innocent, and that's fine. Everybody has their right to, but I look at all of it, the big circle, and there's a lot of shady things and a lot of shady things that point to one person and one person only. And you can't change that. You can't. And it doesn't really matter if there is no DNA, no bloody scene, no whatever. It doesn't really, when you put circumstance all together, a circumstantial case, okay, and it links it, and there's no other way anything could have happened. And if there was in that timeline, you don't have a circumstance, like you don't have that case. If someone can come in there, honest to God, in the court of law and be like, no, dude, at 2:45, you had these people down the street robbing shit. They hurt somebody else. There's proof that there was other people in that area at the same time when Scott was gone that could have, might have, possibly could have done something, or somebody on whatever, a security camera, fucking anything, legit proof could have said, I saw her with the dog at this time when Scott was gone. That's different, bro. We can't take you to court and say, I know without a doubt you did this shit. We can't. But you don't have that. You don't have that backing you. So we can take you to court and we can say, you fucking did this, and that's what happened. And his peers told him, you must die in prison, bro. That's just the case. So I think he did it. And that's just really my thoughts on it. I think he might honestly get a new trial just because it is 2021. And everybody is all about making sure we're doing the right thing. If we're going to lock you up for the rest of your life, we do want to make sure that you do need to be there. But I don't know if he will, to be honest. Because really, you're trying to change 12 people's opinion off of one person not divulging some sort of past criminal activity, involvement, know of, or something in their past. Is that really enough to say this dude deserves a new trial and gets to go back in there and put her family through all this bullshit all again just so he can go home? Like, I'm sure Lacey wants to go home, bud. You know, I'm sure your kid wanted a chance. So it's just weird. Like, I don't, when things like this happen and big names like this come up and it's like, oh, now they're saying they want, they get their right to go home. It just irritates me and I don't like it. It's just very irritating. And I just don't know, you know? I just don't. Sorry, it's fucking cold. I got to turn my heater on for like a split second because it's now October and so it'll snow tomorrow. And yeah. Thankfully though, it's Friday. It is officially Friday and I am so excited about this Friday more than any other Friday I've ever been more excited about. I get to go to the Afro Man concert. That's today. Oh, I'm so excited with my brothers. I cannot wait. I'm so excited. It's going to be so much fun. And sadly, from what they're saying and what I've heard, we might go on lockdown pretty soon again. Like, they might shut everything down. So this literally might be everybody's last chance to get out and do something. And everybody needs to remember the bars don't even close till 2. So it really doesn't matter what you're doing until what time. If whatever you're doing doesn't get done until 11 or midnight, there's still time to come out and enjoy some freedom before the town gets shut down and gets shitty again. But before you go to the concert, it's Friday and it's Facebook Live Day by my two favorite gentlemen. I'm kind of getting butthurt. I'm not going to lie. So Gregory refused, and yeah, that's how serious this feud is getting. Gregory refuses to say my name correctly. And their number one fan, who honestly, I'm going to give her the spot because, like, damn, she sure does love these fellas. I'm going to say I'm like second. And Blake's like third because he would do like, no, Blake's probably second. He would probably do dirtier things than I would do for them. Probably. No, definitely he would. So, yeah, scoot Blake into second. I'll take third. And then, like, that's, like, the roster that I know of so far. I don't really pay attention to all their other fans. I really don't. I mean, like that. Anyway, her name is Deb. I've known her my whole life. Well, since I was, like, 12. So my whole fucking life. She's an amazing lady. And she loves them so much. So she's taking my spot. But anyway, back to the point of the story. Gregory gave her an adorable name. He calls her Racked Up Deb. I don't know if she enjoys it. I think it's adorable. I would take it in a heartbeat. But he doesn't even say my name right. He refuses. He puts like a hyphen in there. And like, if he would just say that we are friends and like be my friend, he could call me whatever he wants. Blake's my friend and Blake gets to call me whatever he wants and I don't get mad. I'm perfectly fine with it. Jeff never messes up my name. So I'm like, okay. Even though I think he probably secretly hates me, but it's fine. He claims he doesn't. But like I say, I think he does. I'm not on their podcast yet. So there's hate somewhere amongst everyone. I don't know who. I don't think it's Greg because I don't think he pays that much attention. I'm not saying he's stupid. But he's just like the goofy one. Everybody's going to be like, shit, she said he's stupid. You're not dumb. I didn't say that. I did not say that. Insinuated. Didn't say. But anyway, it's Facebook Live Day. And so I love Fridays. I am so excited about today. Like, literally, this better be a good day. I am not even kidding. Has to be a good October 1st. Bam. Has to be a good one. So everybody, please have a good day. And if you're going to the concert, I cannot wait to hang out with you and see you. It's going to be so much fun. I don't give a shit if this guy only has two songs or not. I'm really not going there for Afro Man. I'm really going there for like Ebes and Mike and everybody else. It's going to be amazing. I'm more excited about them. So you still have a chance to get a hold of Ebes and get some tickets from him personally before you watch him perform. And like, it's going to be amazing. I'm so excited. You guys have no idea. So excited to get out and have fun and just be free for a minute. Like, you know, just chill. Hope to see everybody. I really hope every person comes to this because, like I said, it's going to be the, hopefully not, but it might be one of the last things we get before they shut us back down. So who knows? Let's just hope that that doesn't happen. But anyway, so we're back on the weekly butts. And I will talk to all of you beautiful people next Friday morning. And until then, I love every one of you. And thank you so much for all of you that reached out to me personally and wanted to wish me well personally. I appreciate you. And it's, you guys are just amazing. I love every one of you. And you guys are why I do what I do. So, yeah. On that note, have a great week. Can't wait to see you. Love you and peace the fuck out.